abandoned at the time of the long winters, had been scoured clear with fine combs. Every single artifact, notice, instruction, or plan had been removed. But that wasn't the case here, as they found when they finished their dreary breakfast and set out to explore. Every main passage and junction area had its own 3D holo map of the entire redoubt that showed where they were at any given moment, as well as tappable info about how to move around, both inside and outside. Since there was no sign of any danger, Ryan agreed that they should split up. Doc and Lori were accompanied by Jack, and JB went on a wreck with the Mescalero shaman. Ryan went with Christy. After studying one of the plans, Ryan realized that the gateway section could be totally cut off from the rest of the redoubt, only accessible now down the tottering ladder at the lowest turning of the tide. Once again, there came the nagging doubt that he'd closed the outer ceiling doors to the Matran section. The map also showed, at the highest floor level near something marked as main entrance, a rectangular building called Visitor Center and Initial Indoctrination Module.
Sounds worth a look, Lover?
Yeah, doesn't sound like there's all that much else around this place worth a look. It's kind of funny in a way.
What is?
We've seen redoubts cleared right out, and yet you still might find something useful around the place, you know?
Yeah.
This looks like it was in use right up till the nukes started falling.
Christy shook her head.
More than that, Lover. We already saw that there's somebody around somewhere who's still using the redoubt, at least the gateways, to jump.
I know. But apart from the big landslide, this place is filled with food and everything. We could live here the rest of our lives and never need to go outside again.
Call that living?
Nah, call it existing. I once saw some old vid back around Kansas with some friends who got holed up in a kind of ville. Muties all around them trying to get in. They sort of existed.
What happened to them?
No idea. Vid player broke before we got to the end of the story. I guess they all died.
Christy reached in her pocket and drew out the small, gleaming black Apache tear, the smooth stone she'd brought with her from the wilderness of the Southwest. She threw it up in the air and caught it, bringing it to her lips for a gentle kiss for good luck.
How about we all go up and get us some fresh air? What do you say to that?
Yeah, why not?
None of the others had found anything of great interest in the parts of the redoubt they'd been exploring. Donphil had been fascinated by a room packed from floor to ceiling with boxes of tablets.
They were called... what was their name again, JB?
Tranks and sleepers.
Yes. Pills to make you sleep and pills to stop you worrying. It is not the way of my people to take such things. There is wrong in the balance if such pills are needed.
One pill to make you larger and one to make you small. Go ask Alice, but I think she doesn't live hereabouts anymore.
Ryan didn't take much notice, figuring the old man's skull was still a couple of rounds short of a full mag. The dead mutie had obviously been an old loner, a packy, hanging around the corpses of old buildings for what he could suck out of the ruins. By far the greater threat to their safety was the mysterious unseen stranger who'd been able to manipulate the controls of the gateway with such apparent ease. He could be dangerous. So Ryan led them along in full firefight order, blasters at the ready, fingers on triggers, nerves drawn as tight as bowstrings. JB brought up the rear of their patrol, with the rest of them strung out between. The journey up toward the surface was trouble-free and uneventful, and they followed the explicit maps at every turn and junction. The walls were gently curved, with the overbright lighting fading to normal as they climbed into the highest levels. It crossed Ryan's mind that it was odd the redoubt contained no corpses. Where were all the dead? The atomic generators had been built and programmed to provide air, heat, and light for 1,000 years, but they weren't programmed to clear out what must have been several hundred iced bodies.
This is it.
Ryan held up his clenched fist in the signal for them to stop and beckoned them all forward into the large open space. Oil stains marked the concrete floor. Jack pointed to the green lever.
Usual control.
Unusually, it was pointing in the up position, meaning that the main outer doors had been opened from the inside, which was probably the handiwork of the deceased mutie. Ryan glanced around.
Ready to go out, friends?
Let's do it.
Doc stepped through the entrance.
My word. That is just so beautiful it makes you...
He shook his head in mute wonderment at the scene. They stood near the crest of the hill, a rounded slope that was at the center of a small island. The sea was spread around it in a dark gray expanse, touched with dappled wheels of bright silver. It looked as if the island was about 4 miles across and barely 2 miles wide, the flanks of the hill speckled with stands of larch, pine, and fir. Down to the left, they could see the flash of a waterfall, among an expanse of aspen, maple, and live oaks. Ryan had never seen anything quite so brilliant as the magnificent show of color from the trees. Every imaginable shade from dark green through dull brown to fiery reds and startling orange. It was almost as if the mountain was ablaze from sea's edge to the beginnings of bare gray rock.
New England fall.
Lori knelt down on a bank of soft cropped turf.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Right there.
Jack pointed to where the blacktop, partly overgrown, wound across the flank of the hill toward the shattered remains of a stone harbor. JB took off his glasses and polished them on his sleeve.
Never saw anything so bright and strong as those trees.
What makes them that color, Doc?
The bright reds and golds? I recall reading in some time back. It's brought on by the soil and the season. All that brave array of brilliant hues and tints is simply the last scene of death. The leaves die back for the winter, and before they die, they display all their rich panoply. That is what we see here, my friends, the brightness of death.
There was an infinite calm about the morning. Away to the north, they could make out either the mainland or more islands. Around the granite headland below them, they could see great circling clouds of cormorants, rising like smoke from the sea. Farther out, Ryan thought for a moment that he spotted some vast creature moving through the sullen waves, broaching for a moment, then disappearing. But he couldn't be certain, and it didn't reappear. Donphil joined Lori, sitting cross-legged and gazing around him, eyes hidden by the mirrored sunglasses. He looked like some skeletal hunting bird, waiting patiently for its prey by a quiet forest pool.
This is the first place I have seen in many, many moons. There is a word in the tongue of the Lost Navajo people. They speak of Hojo in their language.
What's it mean?
Hojo is to be as one with your world, with your... what is the Anglo word?
Environment? Big buzzword way back when.
Environment, good. Good word, Dr. Tenner, yes. It is to be free from all worry and anger. To relish the day and all in it for what it is. If it is a day of rain, then Hojo means to enjoy the day for its rain, and not moan about the wet.
Sounds good to me. A lot of times I could have done with some Hojo myself.
You must seek it within yourself, Ryan Cotter. Seek within, and you shall find it.
They could see from immense fault lines in the granite slopes of the mountain that concealed the redoubt, where major earth slippage had occurred during the nukings of the war. No more buildings were visible. From high above, Ryan thought he could detect the remains of a long causeway stretching out toward the distant land, but some earth shift seemed to have dropped it below sea level. For the first time it came to him that they might have serious problems in trying to get off the island. Halfway down the rippled roadway, they found a stone shelter, roofless, at an overlook. Acadia National Park, scenic view, said a wooden notice, deeply carved.